The healthcare industry is shifting, and it's time to do something different. North Mississippi Health Services is redesigning healthcare, and we want you to be part of it too. Well, good morning. I'm Shane Spees, President and CEO of North Mississippi Health Services, and today I'm joined by Wally Davis, who's our Vice President of Managed Care and Center for Business Health at North Mississippi Health Services. And Wally, today we want to talk about the R in a great redesign strategy at North Mississippi Health Services and what it is and why it's important to our health services system. And, you know, the R in reimbursement is a complicated subject, right? But we're trying to have the conversation today that hopefully our patients, our staff, and physicians that are connected to our healthcare system can better understand reimbursements, how it impacts our system, and what we're trying to do to change how we're paid by insurance companies. And so, you know, the key question that I start with is, I mean, why do we need to change how we're paid by insurers?
Shane, that's a great question, but as we talk through those details, I guess in its simplest form, we're moving from a market environment of where we're paid for volume of services provided to the value of those services. And so, When I speak of volume, probably the best example that comes to mind is I think we've all realized maybe when we had a provider appointment, we're going to see a physician, and we ask for that 8 a.m. appointment so we can be the first one in, and we walk in that waiting room and there's 30 people sitting there, right? So the incentive is to generate as much member flow through that practice. The more people they see in the day, the more they're paid. From a volume perspective, it's really more focused on the patient, on the member, on their total cost of care, the quality of health care being delivered. And when I talk about quality of health care, it starts with a simple wellness visit so they can get a baseline to understand what that provider needs to do from a therapy and a treatment standpoint for that member going out throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we think about the difference between being paid for the volume of services we provide versus the value of the service we provide. I simplify it this way. I mean, right now, by most all insurance companies, we're paid for that visit to the doctor's office. We're paid for that surgery being performed in the hospital or surgery center. We're paid for that X-ray or MRI that's being done. In a value world, we're talking about that insurance company paying us based on how well we deliver the quality of care for that individual member, as well as how well we manage the cost of the care that goes into treating and taking care of that individual. So when we talk about reimbursements and changing how we're paid, you're really talking about moving away from being paid based on the volume of how much we do and how much care we provide, to value, which based on how well we managed quality and the cost of being provided. Okay, that's a big shift, isn't it?
It's a big shift. It's a big shift.
Yeah.
And in another way to maybe provide an example to members, you know, Medicare no longer reimburses for a readmission within a certain time frame. So it's imperative that when we're delivering that health care to that member, that the quality outcome is such that they're not readmitted to the hospital. So there's incentives for us as a healthcare provider, as well as incentives for the insurance payer, right, mm-hmm. to control those costs. And collectively, when we work as a unit, being us health services and the insurance payer that is partnered with us, we're able to achieve that goal.
Yeah. Well, there's another problem in today's payment model of being paid for volume of services, because as we look at a healthcare system and what it costs us to deliver the care for that surgery or that patient visit or that inpatient hospital stay, we realize that today our costs are still higher than what we're getting paid by the insurance companies or the payers, we call them, for delivering that visit or that surgery or that inpatient stay. So the opportunity in shifting from a volume-based payment system to a value-based payment system should be advantageous and an opportunity for us.
Exactly. Because reimbursement models are not increasing, right?
Yep.
So years ago, healthcare providers maybe enjoyed the opportunity to renegotiate contracts, but those days are really, in a sense, in our past. And especially when you come to the government-sponsored plans, those reimbursements are typically being reduced year over year, and there's a lot of factors that are driving that.
Yeah, and that's an important point. If you think about healthcare as a business compared to other business types, whether it's a bank, whether it's a grocery store or a car dealership, you know, they can very easily change their prices if their cost increase or inflated. They can typically change their prices, raise their prices to make up for that increasing cost. In healthcare, we're not able to do that like those other businesses. So since 65% of the care we provide is to Medicare and Medicaid members,
right,
we can't negotiate with the government, right?
Right?
I mean, the government sets those prices and we can't negotiate. So we have to live within whatever reimbursement they're providing to us.
Exactly.
But if we can move to this value-based payment model where we're incentivized for taking great care of that individual, so you mentioned like the wellness visit early on so we understand what the patient's needs are, and then our providers that are involved in the care of that patient are coordinated and they communicate, and so they try to address those needs before the healthcare condition gets worse, and it's not good for the patient. You know, if their cardiovascular disease may worsen or if they have to go into the hospital. So if we can prevent that, the patient's better off. And if we're paid for preventing that from happening, you know, we're better off than under the current model.
Yeah, and the coordination of care for the member is a key element there. You know, and I know we'll talk more about that in a minute, but and one of the advantages of our integrated system, our delivery model from a healthcare perspective, is that we're very blessed here in North Mississippi. There's not many services that we can't provide for a member. Any number of high degree specialty environments are provided here. So when you think again of the total cost of care and that maximum cost exposure for that member when they're making health insurance purchasing decisions, like Medicare, simply stated, which is the largest health plan in the country, right, and by far our largest payer,
mm-hmm.
It becomes very important that that care is coordinated, right, because the reimbursement model is changing, promoting value.
Mm-hmm. So I mentioned earlier that we recognize it's complicated and challenging to go from a payment model that's based on volume or how much services you provide to a model that's based on the value of the care that you provide. It's a big change for us, but I mean, you know, we've got some experience, and so why should we feel confident? I think we've got a number of reasons we ought to feel confident making that transition from volume to value-based payment.
Right. And a great example of coordinated care, and I'll use my mother. She's 89 years young, still moving around pretty well, but she has a primary care provider relationship within our clinic system here. She also has some specialists that she needs to see. She has a defined medication regimen that needs to be managed. And the really neat thing is we took her to one of the specialty provider visits the other day, and they were able to look into our electronic health record. And they could actually see what her treatment plan was with her primary care provider, which eliminates the possibility of duplication of services, right? Mm-hmm. So she's already had a CT scan, and they have those results. Those images are in that electronic health record. So that provider is not required, like we may have seen in the past, to order yet another CT scan and add cost to the maximum out-of-pocket exposure for that member, mm-hmm. as well as overall cost to the total cost of care.
Right, right. And we now have experience, I mean, I think 4 or 5 years of experience now working within a different model of Medicare they call Accountable Care Organization. And so like your mom, we've managed about 30,000 different Medicare members in a value-based model.
That's right.
Where we have proven that we not only perform in the top 10% in the country in terms of the quality of the results or the outcomes that we deliver through our care, but also we've saved Medicare millions and millions of dollars.
That's right.
The problem is, under that model, is we only get to keep a small percentage of those savings, right?
Right.
For the work that our providers do and our healthcare system delivers to the patient or the Medicare member. And so, but what we're talking about doing going forward in a value-based model is changing that so that we are benefiting more from delivering higher quality to patients like your mother and Medicare members, but also keeping more all that savings that we generate because that patient is, or your mom in your example, is not getting a duplicate or another CT scan when she doesn't necessarily need it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a member, you know, when you think about health coverage options, when you become Medicare eligible, somebody in the past, I have to give kudos to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid, they created a mechanism where it's as simple as remembering our alphabet. It's the ABCs of healthcare coverage. So when you become Medicare eligible, like my mom did several years ago, Part A, of course, covers the hospital, inpatient hospital stays, right? So that's the hospital coverage. Part B, what we say in our industry, is the professional coverage, but for the consumer, that means your provider. So when you have a physician office expenditure, that's where the medical benefits are covered. So Part A, Part B. So that's what we call traditional Medicare. And if you have a parent or another community member that you know, they're typically carrying that red, white, and blue Medicare card, right? So it's important that they understand when they're making these coverage decisions that they conduct what we call a needs analysis, right? And I'll expand on that a minute when we talk a little bit more about Medicare Advantage and how Medicare Advantage is slightly different, although it delivers the same benefits, is slightly different than traditional Part A and Part B.
Yeah, so you bring up Medicare Advantage.
Right.
So that's fairly new to our market. Medicare Advantage is just a private insurance plan for Medicare members,
right?
And in our market, in our region, Medicare Advantage plans really just became available several years ago.
Right.
But, you know, I've gotten the question. So, Shane, when you talk about changing how we're paid for services, you know, you mentioned Medicare Advantage as a place, as a real opportunity to start converting from a volume to a value-based payment model. And so let's talk about, you know, why we're focused on Medicare Advantage and why we think we will be successful in that, and most importantly, why it's an opportunity and it's most advantageous to an individual member, a patient or a consumer of healthcare services.
Exactly. So when you think about the consumer, and you might think back to some things we hear on the national news from time to time, and we won't get into the weeds of the economics of Medicare, but we occasionally hear that the Medicare Trust Fund may be going broke one day, right? Now, that's an exaggeration. But there are facts that are supporting that if we don't curb the cost spike, right, that the hospital trust fund, that benefit that covers the expenses for Part A that we talked about earlier, actually could be in a deficit position by the year 2032. So the federal government implemented a strategy to manage the total cost of care. We've talked about that earlier. One of those strategies is Medicare Advantage. And what they do simply is they take the administration of that benefit and shift it to an insurance company, like a we call them a payer here, right? Mm-hmm. And so they take on the payment of those claims for a fixed amount of money, right?
Yeah.
And so they're charged at that point in time to control the cost within that fixed amount of dollars that the federal government pays them. Does two things, right? That curbs medical inflation, which we talked about just briefly, but it puts mechanisms in place where it places a significant amount of importance for those carriers to seek a provider system like ours, somebody that's very able and experienced in managing the total cost of care.
Yeah. And so what we've seen just over the last few years in our communities is that, you know, people who live in our community and our patients more and more are choosing a Medicare Advantage plan over traditional Medicare when they qualify for Medicare benefits.
That's right.
And we see that they're choosing them because the Medicare Advantage plans typically offer some better benefits than traditional Medicare, And as you pointed out earlier, it manages the patient's cost better than traditional Medicare. So it's less expensive for them.
That's right.
And so what we've seen is we've seen significant growth in the number of Medicare eligible people selecting a Medicare Advantage plan over the last few years. And in fact, as we look at it and look at and break down our patients that we serve based on the payer source or the insurance type, we've seen the greatest growth in the Medicare Advantage members in our system.
That's right. That's right. Because those cost savings that we're able to generate within that partnership with that payer are being passed on to the consumer. So an example of that, and I'll go back to my Part A and Part B example. So when you become Medicare eligible at age 65, generally, right, you have a 7-month window that you can select your benefits, right? So your birthday month, mine would be in the month of October, I could select Medicare coverage the month of October or 3 months prior or 3 months after. Now that's important. Everybody needs to remember that because members can enroll at that time and not incur any penalties, mm-hmm. right? If they miss that opportunity to enroll in Part A or Part B, right, there's a 10% lifetime penalty on the cost of that coverage right. going forward. So they need to remember that. Now, when I talked about the ABCs, it really only goes to D. So we'll talk about A, B, C, and D. And I'm going to skip over C briefly because Part D is the prescription drug coverage, which is very, very important to all of us. Mm-hmm. So when you reach age 65, there's two pathways. You could either select traditional Medicare, which covers your Part A and Part B. And an important item for the consumer is that the total cost of care, their maximum out-of-pocket exposure, there's no limit on that maximum out-of-pocket. Now, if they only take Part A and Part B and don't have some type of supplemental coverage, as an example, the Part A deductible is $1,632 per inpatient admission. And it's not limited to one admission per year. That could happen multiple times, depending on the diagnosis. Part B deductible is $240 a year, right? And so that's some out-of-pocket costs. That's when we say when the members are considering their total cost exposure, they need to write these things down. Now, the great news about access to care for the members when you're considering Medicare Advantage with North Mississippi Health Services and one of our contracted Medicare Advantage plans, we bring incredible access to high-quality care. Our footprint is broad. You know, we have hospitals all across the 24-county footprint. We have over 950 practitioners in our clinically integrated network, which you may want to touch on, yep. called Connected Care Partners. So when you have that reach as a healthcare system and you add the coordinated care aspect to it, it becomes incredibly valuable for these members that select Medicare Advantage.
Yep. So you mentioned a couple things that are important differences between traditional Medicare and a Medicare Advantage plan.
Right.
Typically, and so Medicare Advantage plan gives that patient better access
right.
to providers and to services. It gives them access to better or more enhanced benefits than traditional Medicare.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, the out-of-pocket cost for an individual is less, typically significantly less, than if they had traditional Medicare and also bought a supplemental plan
exactly.
that's out there. And so we put the two together of Medicare Advantage plans and a value-based payment model for a health system like North Mississippi Health Services, and it seems like you have a win-win.
Right.
It's a win-win for the patient, it's a win-win for our health system, and it's a win for Medicare.
Right.
Because they're actually delivering better access, more benefits or services in a lower cost way.
Right.
And so it seems like a no-brainer, but it is a change for us, right?
It is a change.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talk about the benefits of Medicare Advantage. They do cover those traditional Part A and Part B, but they also, in most instances, cover Part D, those prescription drugs, all in a bundle. So Part C, when we go back to the A, B, C, D scenario, Part C is Medicare Advantage. That's when the red, white, and blue card goes away, and the member will receive a card from an insurance carrier that's contracted with North Mississippi Health Services for that Medicare Advantage plan. Now, if you buy traditional Medicare, which is fine, that may fit somebody's needs, you often need to purchase an additional Part B, D plan to cover your drugs. So you have Part A, Part B, and Part D. Part C combines those. Part C premium is often $0 a month. So that's an immediate incentive. Copays are typically low. And in addition to the hospital and medical coverage, you get additional coverage like dental. You have hearing benefits. You have a vision benefit. You have a fitness benefit, which is free access to a wellness center. So members can access our wellness centers all across North Mississippi. There's a meal benefit, a transportation benefit for those individuals that might need a ride to a provider office. So there's a lot of enhancements that are added to the Medicare Advantage selection.
So it sounds to me like a simple way of looking at this, that we finally have an alignment of interest across the patient, the health system, and the insurance company. Exactly. Because we all have incentives to provide better care at a lower cost with it. And if we roll that into a value-based model, so if we're working with a Medicare Advantage plan and they're paying us based on value, we can deliver on that better access by the patient to better benefits, that better access to services in a lower cost way of taking care of the patient. And then we as a system, you know, we receive more of that savings if across a population of Medicare Advantage patients there's money saved in that. We keep most or all of that savings as a healthcare system, which as we see it, ends up to better reimbursement for us under that value-based model than what we get in today's payment model, which is a fee-for-service or a payment model based on volume of services that you deliver.
So when members are making their purchase decisions for coverage, simply stated, two main things need to focus on. Access to high-quality health care. Is your hospital in the network, North Mississippi Health Services facilities? Are your providers in the network? Right, and what is your total cost of care? You know, what are the deductibles you're paying? What's your out-of-pocket exposure? What's your monthly premium? The agents will help you walk through that mechanism. And more often than not, you'll find Medicare Advantage is the most cost-effective solution. Mm-hmm. And not to worry, if members are traveling, there's a travel benefit. So if you have an urgent care need, let's pick an example. I had a community member ask me the other day that said, well, they tend to travel a lot to Orlando, Florida. I said, well, that's really simple. If you have an urgent care need, you find an urgent care center in the national network with the carrier we're contracted with. If you have an emergent need, you find an emergency room. So the good news is you're covered when you're outside of our footprint, and you have broad, extensive, coordinated care coverage here.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you mentioned earlier about our healthcare system and how we're organized and how the difference in the value-based model is really around how we engage the patient in their care and then how we coordinate and communicate across multiple physicians and providers, multiple locations to care for that one patient.
Right.
Because it's important, right? And in that value-based model, all of the providers involved in the care of that patient are similarly aligned. Their interests are the same in terms of taking great care of that patient in a lower cost way of doing it, right?
Exactly.
And then our healthcare system is attractive to Medicare Advantage plans because we have that network of providers that have better communication and as a group or as a team of providers deliver better quality results, as we've shown, as I mentioned, that accountable care organization in caring for some 30,000 Medicare, traditional Medicare members, we perform in the top 10% in the country. And we've proven in managing that population, not only better quality results, but also better cost savings to the Medicare program through that. And a lot of that is because our network is built on coordination and communication across the 900 plus providers that are involved in that network.
Exactly right. Another example, going back to my mother, so a great example of the outreach that happens with our clinics. So each Medicare member is eligible for an annual wellness visit, right? Same holds true with Medicare Advantage. There's no cost for that annual wellness visit. There's an outreach made by a nurse or a team member from the clinic organization that will actually call my mother and say, hey, we've noticed it's time for your annual wellness visit. So when she comes in, hopefully early in the year, it's important that members realize we'd love to have those occur January, February, or March of each year. And there's that current state of her health condition is well documented within our electronic health record. So then if she has a follow-up later, maybe with a specialist, let's say a cardiologist, then they know that that wellness visit's already occurred. They know that the medication regimen has been checked, and they can see the results that are occurring because of that, depending on their evaluation of the member, right? Again, holding down the total cost of care, coordinating that care through an integrated record helps the member from a total cost, maximum out-of-pocket standpoint, and an overall quality of health standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about a little different angle on Medicare Advantage. And we mentioned earlier that it's just been in our region for the past several years. So mm-hmm. We're still going through a number of changes with that. And from our staff and maybe from our physician's perspective, they may see Medicare Advantage as bringing some additional hurdles or challenges, in how we work with the patient or get them into the system and how we manage them through the system. And so it's not been without its sort of issues or challenges as we've started up.
Right.
But when I think about a value-based model where we have aligned our interest across the member, the health system, and the insurance company or Medicare Advantage plan in that, part of that alignment is we can remove a lot of those hurdles or obstacles that maybe our physicians or our staff see. So thinking of things like prior authorization to access a imaging study or to access or to get a surgery done, we have a way through the value-based model of working with the insurance company so we can remove some of those steps, right?
Exactly. Much like we are sitting here at the table, right? We have a seat at the table, and that's probably the biggest change I've seen since working in this particular segment of the industry during my career. Historically, payers and providers have been opposite each other. It's almost at times been confrontational. But today, the incentives are aligned as such that the payers recognize they need us to be successful. So we've gained a seat at the table, and they're listening to us. And when we provide the feedback, right, and the results that we're seeing that willingness to adjust and remove and reduce some of those administrative challenges.
Yeah.
So in the long run, as you say, I think this will be by far the best approach. We have had our opportunities for improvement, right?
Yeah.
First year growing pains.
Yeah.
But the great news is we can identify those and share those collectively and then work as a team, right, to achieve those same results that we've already realized in those Medicare populations that you talked about. Now, for the consumer, when I talk about a Medicare population, you just need to think, let's just pick 100 Medicare members. Let's just say there's a population of 100 Medicare members within a zip code, in the Tupelo zip code. You need to think that we're managing that number of members together collectively, right? What is the total cost of care for those 100 members? So that's where it really takes a lot of coordination, an investment, if you will, not only for our system, but for the insurance carriers to come to our market, right?
Mm-hmm.
We both need to see results long-term for the, as I call it, the win-win.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I'll just wrap it up here by making a few comments about how what we talked about this morning, changing how we're paid by insurers or reimbursement, and Medicare Advantage value-based models relate back to a great redesign strategy we have here at North Mississippi. And again, going back to that win-win-win scenario, we mentioned earlier that it improves patients' access to better benefits,
right,
to higher quality care, to lower cost care. It improves our financial position as a system because we're paid for that value that we deliver. Then those value-based models, based on our experience, the payment's been better than under a traditional volume-based model we have in it. As I see it too, as those Medicare Advantage plans grow in membership numbers who use our healthcare system, it supports our growth in core services within our system. And then the last one is part of a great redesign. We have the A, or alternative revenue sources. It provides a source of alternative revenue. So we not only get paid for providing the visit or the surgery or the inpatient stay for that Medicare Advantage member, but we're also paid for the coordination, the communication and management of that patient's care, you know, throughout that plan year, right? So it touches on several parts of a great redesign.
It absolutely does. And the evidence is there. We've seen our team adjust, right? We've seen them leverage the toolkit that's in a part of the great redesign. Right. As we gain operational efficiencies as an organization, that's not new for us.
Yeah.
We've been doing
that
for years.
That's right.
Right? And you share with us all the time of the success of those operational efficiency milestones. So, and they originate from that toolkit that we provide for our team members. And the reason that works is because our staff members are the ones that are sharing with us what needs to be fixed.
Right.
It's coming right from the front line.
Right, right. Great. So Wally, thank you for joining me this morning. Appreciate your insights on the R, or the reimbursement, and a great redesign strategy, and the insights on Medicare Advantage and the new value-based payment model that we're working towards. We also want to hear from you, so we have placed a link in the show notes that are part of the podcast. We welcome your feedback, so feel free to use that, and hope you'll join us next time. Thank you.